And in fact, the Jews are so overwhelmed, enamored by him. Why? Because he fixed the Middle East peace problem. He has somehow likely dealt with ISIS. He has somehow dealt with the Islamics versus the Jews. And he has ended Middle East strife, or so it seems. Israel is so blown away by that, they say, "You've got to be our Messiah." But he's not. Remember when Jesus said, "I come in my Father's name, and you Jews wouldn't receive me. But there's going to come one who's going to come in his own name, and him you will receive." That was in reference to the Antichrist. And by the way, there is a model of that in the crucifixion or Passion Week story. Barabbas. There is Pontius Pilate. He's pulling at his collar. "Man, am I in hot water. I got an uprising of these Jews. My boss is not far away, coming into town soon. Man, I've got an uprising. How do I quell this? Kill this man, Jesus." What capital crime has he committed? And they couldn't convict him. And then he said, "I find nothing to convict this man." And then they say, "Well, then you're no friend of Caesar." That's job security. So he has Jesus beat up terribly, horribly disfigured. And he parades the bruised and battered and bloody Jesus. And he says, "Now how about this guy? Is that enough?" And they said, "No." And then he remembers another loophole. You know, the magnanimous Roman Empire, we have an ability to commute a sentence to substitute one for the other. How about we let this guy go on that clause? "No," they said, "give us Barabbas." Remember the story? Barabbas. He was a terrorist and a murderer. He was a terrible, awful person. Let's break down his name. Bar means son of. Abba means father. "No, we don't want this one coming in his father's name. Give us one coming in his own name. Son of the father, Barabbas." That is astounding and amazing, the story of Barabbas on the crucifixion week. Model form of what the Jews will do one day with the Antichrist himself. Wow. Back to Revelation again. Verse 4. 13 verse 4. "So they worshipped the dragon who gave authority to the beast, and they worshipped the beast, saying, 'Who is like this beast? Who is able to make war against him? No one can stop him.' And he was given a mouth speaking great things and blasphemies." We're going to see that in the rest of our chapter 7 tonight. "And he was given authority to continue for 42 months. That's 3.5 years. The last 3.5 years of the book of Revelation, God says, "I don't want you to miss it." Here he describes it as 42 months. We're going to see in Daniel chapter 7, it's a time, times and a half a time. 3.5 years. And then the book of Revelation says 1260 days. So don't miss it. Well, what is this blaspheming guy? What's he yelling? Verse 6. "And he," this Antichrist, "opened up his mouth," this beast with the 7 heads and 10 horns, "in blasphemy against God, and blaspheming his name," God's name, "his tabernacle, and those who dwell in heaven." Who is that? That's you guys. Who got raptured before the great tribulation got started. And it's really going to shake up planet Earth, it would seem. What happened to the millions of humans that suddenly disappeared? And all kinds of folklore, perhaps, might come about as to trying to explain their disappearance. Well, he's going to blaspheme us. And forget about those guys who disappeared in the rapture, he'll say. Verse 7, "It was granted to him to make war with the saints." Some people use this word saint and think, whoop, that must be the church. No, please understand that the elect or the saints have been used for the people of God in Israel. They have been used for the saints in the church, but they are also used of tribulation saints. Those who didn't get raptured because they didn't believe when God took the body of Christ out, but there will be a great revival during the tribulation. It's those tribulation saints that are going to really take it on the chin. Are you sure they're tribulation saints? Yeah, let's keep watching. And to overcome them. Right in your margin there, Matthew chapter 16. I know who you are, said Peter to Jesus. You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God. Well done, Peter. Flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father in heaven. And upon this rock, or this understanding, that Jesus Christ is the Messiah, I will build my church. And the gates of hell will not prevail. Is the Antichrist prevailing here? Answer is yes. It cannot be the church. Otherwise, Jesus didn't know what he was talking about in Matthew 16. Well, I'm of the opinion he knows what he's talking about. And authority was given to him, this Antichrist, over how many tribes, you guys? Every tribe. Tongue and nation, and all who dwell on the earth. Rome A took up a lot of real estate, but did they have the whole world in their grasp? No. That's why we're talking about Rome B, under the Antichrist. And all the earth will worship him whose names have not been written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. Okay, back to Daniel, and we'll zoom to the end. So now that we understand what's going on in Revelation 13, more to the story, let's watch verse 9. Back to Daniel. I watched until thrones were put in place. How many thrones? Probably seven for the seven kings overseeing the 10 regions. And you can write in your margin there, Revelation 13 and Revelation 17. Where the beast is seen again. And in chapter 17, the harlot, the great religious ripoff, is riding on the beast. She is seemingly in control, but then the beast turns around on her and devours her. What does that mean? This religious system that happens after the rapture happens, and where it goes in a grand ecumenical way, all are one, they'll say. The Islamics are going to throw an arm around the Christians and the Hindus, etc., etc., and the Buddhists and all. They're all going to come together, kumbaya, and that's going to have a bit of a life to it until about 3.5 years into the Great Tribulation. Then the Antichrist inhabits this human, and he wants everybody to worship him. And he turns around and he devours that harlot or any other religious system other than worshiping him. Why? Because that's what the devil has always wanted. Well, that's going to happen until the Ancient of Days showed up. Who's that, you guys? That's the Father. For you note takers, Isaiah 43 verse 13 and Isaiah 57 verse 15. And his garment was white as snow, holiness. And the hair of his head was like pure wool, wisdom. His throne was a fiery flame, judgment. And its wheels a burning fire. Ezekiel chapter 1, Ezekiel actually sees these wheels. Verse 10, a fiery stream issued and came forth from before him. 1,000,000s ministered to him, and 10,000 times 10,000 stood before him. Wow. Those are the angels. And and perhaps the tribulation saints, as we'll see in the book of Revelation, and potentially we in our brand new bodies who have been, at this point, 7 years tucked away with our bridegroom, Jesus Christ. Well, something's coming down. Check it out. And the court was seated, and the books were opened. I don't think these are the books of Judgment Day, Revelation chapter 20. I don't think so. Because once you are on the wrong side of the books in Revelation 20, you ascend into Gehenna, or the lake of fire. That's not what's happening here. These books seem to be that God keeps track of every nation, and how did they do in their responsibility of taking care of God's people, literally humans, and God's people, Israel. And if they didn't do well, the book of Revelation says, and Matthew chapter 25 says, God's going to judge those nations. So I don't think it's the book of Revelation chapter 20 at the end of the thousand-year reign. I think it's different. Verse 11, and I watched then because the sound of the pompous words which the horn was speaking. And we know what that is in Revelation 13. We know what it is. He's coming against God, his tabernacle, and all you raptured Christians. And I watched until the beast was slain and the body destroyed and given to the burning flame. The very first two occupants of the lake of fire are going to be the human that was the Antichrist, that the devil later demon-possessed, and the false prophet. And they stay in the lake of fire through the thousand-year reign until Judgment Day, when the rest of fallen creation, fallen angels and people, then will join them in this lake of fire. And Luke 21, verse 24, Jesus was referring to this as the times of the Gentiles. All right, you humans, God says, I've given you every opportunity to try to rule other humans. How did it go? How did those empires do? They were ravenous beasts, and they consumed with a voracious appetite God's precious people. And if you've ever looked around and said, man, humans have a hard time governing themselves, the answer is yes, of course. Because there really is, you guys, only one real good king. It's Jesus Christ. Verse 12, and as for the rest of the beasts, they had their dominion taken away, yet their lives were prolonged for a season and a time. Likely a reference to the cultures of these nations are kind of hanging out even till today. Verse 13, I was watching in the night visions, says Daniel, and behold, one like the Son of Man coming in the clouds. Who's that? Ta-ta-da, Jesus! And he came to the Ancient of Days, and they brought him near before him. So Jesus before the Father. Then to him was given, Jesus was given, dominion and glory and a kingdom, and all the peoples and all the nations and languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion, which shall not pass away, and his kingdom the one which will not be destroyed. We saw that in Daniel chapter 2. Remember the big image and a big huge rock that no hands could hew comes flying in and smashes the 10 toes of the image and then grows to become a great mountain that was pictured in Daniel 2. And this is the millennial reign of Jesus Christ. Revelation 19, let's go, guys. Remember that court that was seated? The 10,000 times 10,000? Probably angels, probably tribulation saints, probably us new body believers, and Jesus. And the Ancient of Days says, we're done with the human empires and human governance. Go, my son, and take all of these with you. And that's Revelation 19. Verse 15, and I, Daniel, was grieved in my spirit within my body, and the visions of my head troubled me. Wow, he said. So I came near to one of those who stood by, one of the angels. And by the way, write Daniel 8, verse 16. It tells us who it is. It's Gabriel, one of the presence angels, one of those angels that is consistently before the Lord. So I asked him the truth of all this. So He told me and made known to me the interpretation of these things. Hey, those great beasts which are four kings which shall arise out of the earth. And we've seen that. The Babylonian, Medo-Persian, Greek, Rome A, and Rome B. But the saints of the Most High shall receive the kingdom and possess the kingdom forever and ever and ever. When Jesus rules and reigns on planet Earth, Israel will be in its long prophesied and promised place of being for the humans, pointing to the great Messiah of Jesus, who is living at this point in Jerusalem. Verse 19, then I wish to know the truth about the fourth beast. Boy, was he freaky. Can you tell me a little more? It was different from all the others, exceedingly dreadful, with its teeth of iron, its nails of bronze, which devoured and broke into pieces and trampled the residue with its feet. And what about the 10 horns that were on its head and the other horn which came up, that little one that uprooted the 3, before which 3 fell, namely that horn which had eyes and a mouth which spoke pompous words, whose appearance was greater than his fellows? What about that guy? I was watching, and the same horn was making war against the saints and prevailing against them. Write in your margin here, Revelation 13, verses 7 through 8. Prevailing against them. They are not the church, you guys. How do we know? Because the Antichrist is whooping them. Verse 22, until the Ancient of Days came, write Revelation 19, and a judgment was made in favor of the saints of the Most High, and the time came for the saints to possess the kingdom. That's the millennial reign of the Lord. Verse 23, and thus he said, the fourth beast, yeah, that's a head scratcher, shall be a fourth kingdom on the earth, which shall be different from all the other kingdoms. It shall devour the whole earth, Rome B. Trample it and break it into pieces. Because, as I said, Rome A never did reach the whole planet. Verse 24, and the 10 horns are the 10 kings who shall arise from this kingdom. And the other shall rise after them. He, the one horn who uprooted the 3 other, the Antichrist, shall be different from the first ones, and he shall subdue 3 kings. He shall speak pompous words against the Most High. He shall persecute the saints of the Most High, and shall intend to change the times and the law. A lot of speculation as to what this means. He's going to try to change the calendar. That's fascinating to me. Probably because most calendars are predicated upon that culture's, or I should say, they move around that culture's great deities. Nope, there's only one deity, there's only one Christmas, there's only one Ramadan, so to speak. Or it could be that he's trying to confuse the dates. After all, God says it's 3.5 years, it's 42 months, it's 1,260 days. Don't know? We'll see. Well, then the saints shall be given into his hand. How long? A time, one. Times, two, so 3 total. And a half, so 3.5 years. The last 3.5 years of the tribulation, the Antichrist is going to have a God-given ability to conquer the whole world. Verse 26. But the court shall be seated. We just saw about that court. They shall take away his dominion to consume and destroy it forever. Then the kingdom and dominion and the greatness of the kingdoms under the whole heaven shall be given to the people and the saints of the Most High in the millennial reign. His kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and all the dominions shall serve and obey him. So here is the inevitable end of every human governmental system. In the Lord's eyes, they are beastly, and they devour and they consume people. Huge principle harvest. Man cannot govern himself, and this means me either. I'm the king of my own kingdom. Are you really? Well, how are you doing with that? Only Jesus is the true and righteous King over nations and over people. And finally, verse 28, and this is the end of the account. As for me, Daniel, my thoughts greatly troubled me, and my countenance changed, but I kept the matter in my heart until years later when he wrote it down, and that's what we're reading today. Thank you, Lord Jesus. This stuff geeks me out. I had fun revisiting some of my history books and some of my notes and looking through the statues and the busts and the temples and the shrines to these quote-unquote great men, Cyrus the Great, Napoleon, Alexander the Great, whatever great you want to look at, and it all is for nothing. Because the very best humans can come up with are beastly governments. So Lord, we are especially appreciative of this governmental system that you gave us here in America. Founded by men and women who fasted and prayed and literally asked you, Lord, please predicate this nation on your Bible. There's only two nations that I'm aware of that were deliberately designed after God's word. Israel and this one. And as we recover from Harvey and prepare for Irma, oh Lord, in the last 60 years has this nation stampeded away from your righteousness. And what made this nation great was not its ingenuity. What made this nation great, Lord, was you. And Lord, as the ethnos, the nations within this nation, as this nation continues to fragment, I so appreciate what Greg Laurie said. It's because you're looking at and identifying with the wrong family. We are all really of the family of God. And Lord God, if America continues to stampede away from that notion, then judgment is going to come. And Lord, if we are past, if my people who are called by my name, and if the message like Jeremiah has shifted, Jeremiah, stop asking me for repentance for the nation. They're beyond that. Jeremiah, ask me how to prepare for the coming judgment. Are we there, Lord? Before you call us home, may you find faith on the earth, and may you find faith here at Harvest. And in Jesus' name, Lord God, may we be people with a ready answer of the gospel. Yep, things are getting tough. Oh, Lord, we don't pray so much for America. We pray for your people here. We lift up all the pulpits in this nation and pray, Lord, would you move the pastors to teach your word and to teach prophecy, Lord God, so that the people of God can perk up and listen and see how close your return is. And if I really apprehend how close you are, I will live a different life. Thank you, Lord, for Daniel chapter 7. Oh, in Jesus' name, and everybody said, amen.